Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Province Sports Podcast.
All right, White Towel Podcast. Patrick Johnson, Ben Kuzma. Paul Chapman is away. Hopefully we can survive this, Ben. How are you?
Where is Paul?
I don't know. I think he took some days off. He's been...
probably watching the Premiership.
Yeah. Liverpool.
Liverpool. I've heard of them.
I thought you said no Liverpool mentions. Anyway. We brought ourselves together. Thought we'd talk, contracts, off-season, of course. I know you've been talking with Mr. Benning.
Are we free agents? No.
No.
You're restricted. I might be unrestricted.
Yeah, you've reached that age.
I might be bought out.
Watch out.
Hi, Louis.
Let's talk contract. I mean, there's six guys, I think, that we look at that are RFAs. I mean, assuming they get qualified. And two guys that are UFAs. But let's start with, the big names, UFA, Alex Edler. Yes, no, is he going to be a Vancouver Canuck next season?
I'm going to say, boy, I hesitated there, didn't I?
I know.
I'm going to say yes. Here's the thing. I mean, you've got a guy who wants to stay here. I mean, the Canucks have that leverage. They have the hammer. I think the big thing is, I don't think the money is going to be a big hassle. Term is going to be, I'd love to see Alex Edler here for 2 years. You know it's going to be three, but then it's the no movement clause. It's the clauses. I mean,
that's what
it is. And that's what's keeping this thing from being consummated early. We thought it might be done by now, but I think, there's no rush here, and it's in the Alex's interest to push for that, to make sure that he's not going anywhere, that he finishes his career here. But again, from a Canuck perspective, when you've got a player who wants to finish his career here, who didn't want to be waive his no trade at the deadline to go to a contender, who talked openly about that not being the be-all, end-all, you've got to make this work to your advantage.
It's that no movement, which would make them have to protect him make the Canucks have to protect him for the expansion draft. That, to me, is the real question. And I'm sitting here thinking, if you're Alex Edler, you're not going to go sign somewhere else. If that's you're saying, I want to be here. So if you go to UFA, are you really going to go sign in Detroit or wherever you might end up looking at this summer?
And from a Canucks perspective, I don't think you should worry about that clause. When you really look at that, there's so many question marks at the back end in terms of, we're not really sure about, can Chris Tanev get through a year? We don't know what Ylevi's going to be like by training camp. I mean, coming off the knee surgery in December and having a back procedure the previous summer, he got off to a great start in Utica. Let's not kid ourselves. The first 18 games, he was on pace for 50 points in the A, which is pretty good in any league. But I'm really curious when a guy misses a lot of time and doesn't train properly, is he really going to be ready for training camp?
Edler, in the end, I think we'll be back as well. I think it's just that, like you said, I think it's just there's too much in the Canucks' side of things that say they want him back. I think Edler knows they want him back. But again, like I said, that clause is going to be a sticking point. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, maybe there's a way they figure a way around that. But
And again, knock on wood, if he can stay healthy. And people should not lose sight of the fact that a reason that a lot of these guys get hurt on a regular basis, especially Tanev, is the back-to-backs, the minutes they log, the travel in this part of the world is crazy. Those 6 and 7 game road trips, it just adds up. So, again, when he was healthy, he played well. And I thought the interesting thing last year, talking to Edler a lot, was how he wanted to kind of carry on the legacy of the Twins and being a guy who's a little bit more visible in the room and taking a little bit more of a leadership role. And I really saw that this year. And I think there's something left in the tank.
Besser, you've written about this week. Brock Besser, obviously, is an RFA. No arbitration rights, so there's a bit of an advantage to the Canucks there. But, what are you thinking at this point, having? I know you've sort of chatted with a few people around the story. What's your sense of what's happening there?
I think the Canucks are a little bit nervous. I think they look at a guy who's, already, you factor in the games he missed. He's a 30-goal guy who will probably push for 40. I think the Canucks are a little nervous about, is he injury prone? I mean, all players go through adversity. He had the wrist, then he had the back, and the wrist was still bugging him. He didn't really start training full out till middle of July last year. So I think he's healthy. I know talking to him at the end of the year, he's super motivated. I think what the Canucks need to understand that as great a guy he is, there's something that beats beneath the surface here. And I'm not saying he's pissed off. I'm just saying that they started talking about, you know, at training camp about what are we going to do with his extension. They wanted to get it done, you know, as soon as possible, then moves into the summer. And quite frankly, I believe now we're in a scenario here where his agent, Ben Hankinson, may wait until all those other RFA deals are done. And we're going to training camp, much like a Bo Horvat scenario. But, you know, if you look at the Nylander deal, you know, the 5 years, almost 6.9 cap hit.
That's right.
I think that's a ballpark there. Here's what I think will happen. Hankinson and Besser are willing to go long or short. If the Canucks don't want to buck up, if they're worried about optics, like Bo Horvat's supposed to be our highest paid player at the 5.5 cap hit. I mean, come on. Don't let the optics, you know, cloud things here. You're going to have to pay Besser. You're going to have to pay Pettersson. That's just the nature of the beast. Now, if they're worried about optics, that's a real problem. And that's where Besser's camp may say, you know what? We'll bet on ourselves. We'll take a short deal. We think that our guy's going to be at least a 30-goal guy pushing for 40. And guess what? In a couple of years, you're going to really pay. And now he's closer to unrestricted free agency. And if you're not a team that's moved the needle, he'll have options.
I think that short-term bet on yourself question is a really interesting one because, you know, I got the same sense as you. When I talked to him on media day there, I just said, you know, I talked to him. How did I frame it? I said, that back check in Arizona really, really burned you, didn't it? It really burns you right now. You've been upset about that. And he goes, yeah, absolutely. Without hesitation, you know, that there was that goal. It was he was just slow on the back check, didn't put in a very good effort. And that essentially, I mean, that was the night the Canucks' playoff hopes truly died. I mean, they've been a flickering, very lightly flickering candle for quite some time. But that was the night it ended. And it was on him. That was a goal that they shouldn't have happened. He was caught watching the puck, not skating back hard. And you really got a sense that he believes a light went on inside of him, that he all of a sudden goes, man, this is the NHL. I've done pretty well. I can do a lot better. And that was sort of his motivation going in the offseason. First of all, no contract, but also just saying, I'm going to have a healthy offseason for, you know, really the first time in my NHL career. Last year was so difficult with that back injury and set him off. And he, first of all, had to get healthy again. He didn't get to really work on the sort of skills that he wanted to improve over the last summer. He's said that's what he wants to focus on this summer. I think that betting on himself question is going to be really interesting because, you know, here's a guy who's a 30-something goal scorer. He wants to believe that he's a 40-goal scorer. And if he can make himself a 40-goal scorer, you know, in one season, all of a sudden the cash register is going to be ringing next summer.
And that's what I wanted to touch on earlier about, you know, as great a guy as he is, and he's always smiling, and he does so many great things in the charitable community and outside the rink, there's a fire burning in that belly. You mentioned the mistake in the Arizona game. I thought he got better in that respect in the second half. That's, you know, he's kind of a little bit one-dimensional. But people should understand that this past season was the perfect wrong kind of storm. You know, he never trained properly last summer. He wasn't allowed to. Came back 8 or 9 pounds heavier. We know he was slower. He tried to push it. It morphed into the groin injury. It morphed into an adductor strain and a hernia scare. And he just never kind of got his legs under him. Having said that, down the stretch, I think we started to see better stride, hanging onto the puck, going around the net, looking for options. I think he started to gather that under him. You know, he could have gone to the Worlds. He could have gone with Team USA, but he was adamant that as soon as I take a break here and give the body a bit of a break, I'm going full bore. I expect him to come out of the gates blazing in the fall.
Two guys I think maybe to be discussed in tandem, two other RFAs, is Nikolai Gudobin and Ben Hutton. Two guys that I'm not sure if they have a role on the team next year. I certainly think Hutton is a bigger question mark than perhaps even Gudobin is.
Yep.
What are you thinking with those two guys?
Well, I think with Gudobin, it's the fact that the left side's a mess in terms of, you know, the only real left winger we can speak of right now is probably Tanner Pearson, having that late spurt with Bo and 6 goals in his last 9 games. Gudobin, quite frankly, what they said to him at the end of the year about having a good summer, I'm of the mind that I think he's been given every opportunity, and maybe he just is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I think the Canucks are of the mind of, you know, if we give up on this kid, maybe he does go somewhere and turn it around. But I think the bigger problem is a lack of depth on the left side. You know, Sven Berchi's had 5, probably now, I guess, 6 career concussions. That's a real concern. I couldn't find Ryan Spooner. That was not a great acquisition. Roussel's out till at least Christmas with the knee injury. Schaller is was a shell of what he was in Boston. And Marcus Granlund's an RFA who probably is dispensable as well. So getting back to Nikolai Goldobin, he doesn't have any contract leverage. They're probably going to give him a short bridge, but I guess they're not quite giving up on him yet, and that probably speaks to more of the problems they have on the left side.
A bit of a prove it, kind of thing. What about Ben Hutton? I mean, Hutton to me, he's a guy that, you know, obviously at least narrative-wise rebuilt himself, played a lot of important minutes for the Canucks, probably, you know, played too much. I think realistically he's a guy that's, obviously good skater, good puck skills, not a terribly amazing offensive contributor, did score 5 goals, but that's kind of where he's going to top out, I think. And like I said, when he played sort of lower end minutes was better, didn't look great when he had to play in that top pairing, which was by necessity at times. But I just don't know how he fits in the future in this back end. If Olajuwon's going to be a guy on the left side and Quinn Hughes is going to be a guy on the left side and they want to bring Alex Edler back, it's hard to see how Hutton fits into that.
And even their other guys in the farm are left shot guys too. So I look at it like this. I mean, Ben Hutton did all the work last summer. He basically got another chance. Travis gave him another chance because, quite frankly, he did the work. Okay, the key thing when you're running a professional organization is when a guy you think has reached his peak, that's when you move him.
Yeah.
Right. There might be a way of moving him. Maybe not so much one for one. I certainly see. I mean, I think you can address adding somebody on the back end through free agency. You can spend that money. You're not giving up an asset. But in terms of getting Bo some help on the right side, if you're looking at a package deal here that includes Ben Hutton, I think it's doable. And again, that's nothing to take anything away from Ben Hutton. But I think he plateaued. You mentioned those minutes. I mean, when he was paired there with Stetcher, when Edler and Tanev were up, it was quite remarkable what they were trying to accomplish. But I remember doing a game in Chicago where Patrick Kane went around Ben Hutton. Like, it wasn't pretty. And, he's at best, he's a third-pairing guy.
Yeah.
And the guys coming project higher than that. So there's no room at the inn as far as I'm concerned. But we'll see.
Let's talk about one of your Saskatchewan boys, a guy that obviously hit it off with everybody in the room, whether they're the media or his teammates, Luke Shen, who I thought was a solid number six guy, knows what he is, knows he can throw some hits there, can move the puck. As we saw when they played against the Maple Leafs, not the fleetest of foot. I think about that Kasperi Kapanen rush where Shen literally looked like a battleship and Kapanen was a new age fighter jet or something like that. But a decent guy, good, again, those proverbial good in the room guys. What do you think about Shen? Shen seems like the Canucks would like to bring him back. What's your feeling there?
My feeling is, depending on who they're playing on a given night, he's a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
And you bring him back. I mean, I talked to him. I said, would you be willing to come back for a year? He said, yeah. He just wants to keep playing. And we heard what happened with Anaheim and the big fallout there, and he's pretty pissed when he first showed up. And, boy, near the end, I mean, I had the Shenometer going most nights and how many hits he had. And I see it runs in the family when you look at what his brother's doing in the playoffs. A guy who brings an element that they're missing. Yeah, you're right. He's not the fleetest of foot. But you need some guy who's going to bang bodies, a guy who's going to be not waving a stick down low and maybe lean on a few guys and come back at a meal, like nothing, like coming back to give you some an element you don't have. And it's not going to be a tough deal to do. And he'll do it for 1 year, buys you some time to develop other guys. So to me, that one's a no-brainer.
Last three guys, all sort of depth forwards. You've mentioned Granlund already. There's Tyler Mott. And of course, there's Josh Levo, who, was a nice pickup midseason, played well. Probably, I think, long-term is kind of a third-line winger, guy who does a lot of things really well. Puts up some points, going to make your team better when he's on the ice versus when he's off.
On a good team, he's a third line left winger. On this team, he's what Travis likes. He can play the left side or he can play the right side. Until they get things figured out, he might be on the left side with Pettersson and Besser to start the year, or go on the right side with Horvat, depending what they can do in the offseason in getting Bo somebody to play with on that right side.
And so Mott, what do you think is going to happen with Tyler Mott? I mean, I know that he was picked up for Thomas Vanek. He's hustled hard, played fourth line minutes, scored, I think, 9 goals,
See, I don't have a problem with him. I think he did exactly what they asked of him. And he's fast enough. He hits. He's leading the team in hits. And I don't know what, unless you had somebody you're really anxious to replace him with, to bring along. Like, it's so different now. You say, well, we're going to bring somebody along and start him on the fourth line and methodically move him up. NHL's not like that anymore. If you see a guy that slots in a certain position, you put him right in. So fourth line right side, I'm not sure what they're thinking here. Would it kill them to bring him back? So I don't have a problem with him.
Yeah.
I don't think you have, but I don't think you have a, you know, do you have a McEwen? Do you have somebody that you might want to bring along in that role? That would be my only caveat there, is that maybe as raw as McEwen was and as good a season he had in Utica, maybe you start him out as a fourth line.
I think other than McEwen, there's nobody obvious that, you know, internally that's going to take
that spot.
And that's
where he might get a look. Yeah. He might get a look.
Yeah. All right, folks. Of course, Ben has lots of stuff coming up with the forwards. I'm doing the defense here at ProbablySports.com. Please subscribe and rate and review us on whatever podcast player you're listening to. We'll see you again soon.